You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hour number two, Jeff Cameron Show 93.3, Real Talk Radio, Warshant TV. Great to be with you. I hope you're well. Appreciate you joining us. Basketball begins again tonight, right? Time to get some wagers going. Get some money out there. Let's go. Let's bet.
Man, a lot of people made a lot of coin on that first weekend. I did too.
Under, all unders.
But it wasn't at the level. I saw, I think it was Briley in the chat.
Basically, he went nuts. He went berserk. He's, yeah,
over 70% clip. I'll just go with the unit play, the standard, not the Lee Sterling units of confidence, but on the one unit play, I finished 12-fold up, which is good. But I wish I bet more, put it that way.
I've said it this year several times, and I'm not afraid to say it now, I have been reluctant to wager in the manner that I've grown comfortable with over the years for this particular tournament. I've been down on college basketball. I thought the sport sucked this year, just like Florida State's basketball team. And I thought that much of the level of play was boring and shoddy, like women's basketball. And so I didn't watch with the same amount of intensity that I typically do. But I love the tournament. And so, the tournament creates drama, intrigue, but to bet properly, you will typically, I like to have been, pretty well educated on what I'm throwing around in terms of bets. Now, it's always a safe bet, as it was at the start of the tournament, that Tom Izzo and Michigan State will go far into the tournament and win a lot of games, because it's just what the hell they do. It's just what they do. That guy is, look at the numbers in his career, not just once they get into the tournament, but what he's done in the round of the Sweet 16, what he's done. I mean, it's insane. There's a guy that has a way of any truncated tournament can produce really uneven results. We see it in baseball all the time, right? You see things like they, the truncated postseason in baseball often sees perhaps the best team in the country or one of the best teams in the country eliminated in the regional round. Because anybody can lose two games. It can happen. You just don't play well on a day and your back's against the wall and kids don't respond and next thing you know, you're done. It doesn't undo the 50-something games you played during the regular season, but it certainly feels that way and it's a disappointment. In a one-game one-off, we see it all the time in basketball as well. You can be the best team in the country. You could have lost two games. Play poorly. Team shoots the lights out from three. Somebody goes 80% on a night. You lose. You're out of the tournament. Sucks. So it's awfully hard to avoid a disappointing finish if you're at any one place for a long period of time. You know, if you've been the head coach at Duke or you've been the head coach wherever for a long period of time and you've got better players, well, you're going to put together better seasons than most. You're going to make the tournament most years. You're going to have plenty of conference titles, but there's going to be a tournament result that everybody looks back on and go, what happened? Remember when we were a four and we lost in the first round by 10 to Wichita State? Yeah, that kid couldn't miss, scored 46. Everybody has that. But when you think of Izzo and Michigan State, you're like, well, it doesn't happen. It never happens. I'm sure it has. He's been there 100 years. But those numbers are insane with him all the time. So at the beginning of every tournament, my point is I always just bet on Michigan State to at least make the Sweet 16. And they were a 7 seed, right? They were a 7 seed, yeah, this year's tournament. They weren't even that good.
You did with Mr. Minardi, too, with Louisville.
Yeah.
Before he, messed it up for himself over there. It was just like, I don't care if they could be last four buys on Lenardi's thing. They're going to make the 16. It's just what they
every year. It was crazy. Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing that about got Tom Izzo was the off-the-court issues in which he held a press conference in which he looked like he might die that instant.
I remember bringing it to everybody's attention as we came on the airwaves. Like, oh, let's look out for Mike. He has had some tough nights.
That was either 5 or 6 years ago now at this point.
Yeah, it was the doctor that, K-State is the 3 seed against the 7 seed, 6:30 tonight. TBS, Michigan State. Well, here's a testament to what they think at the various sporting outlets in Las Vegas. They got Michigan State minus a point and a half tonight as a 7 seed against the 3 seed. I like that Kansas State team, though. UConn and Arkansas. Arkansas obviously responsible for the big upset. Razorbacks are really good defensively. We already know that. They beat Illinois and Kansas. They are the 8 seed. Number 4 is UConn. I thought UConn has looked like the most complete team. They actually do go down low, by the way. They will feed the post. They do have balance. They are favored tonight, -3.5. Tennessee and Florida Atlantic. I don't know. Go Florida Atlantic. I know that, but.
7.5? What's the number?
Oh, 5.5 for Tennessee. Ooh. They're the 4 seed, Florida Atlantic as the 9 seed.
It's a 2-possession ball game.
UCLA is favored over Gonzaga by 2.5.
Ooh. Go Zags.
I'm picking Gonzaga, yeah.
Take out evil Mick Cronin.
Also, Drew Timmy has played 17 years at Gonzaga. So, I mean, that kind of veteran experience in the post. I mean, every time they show me that guy, I go, he's still in college? He's still playing in college.
I feel like Mick Cronin was one of the nationalists in Children of Men as they're going from place to place and there are security guards everywhere.
Yeah.
Mick Cronin looks like one of those dudes.
Evil. Those secure. Yeah.
Yes, Mick Cronin's got that. Yeah. Got that look.
Alabama, San Diego State tomorrow. We're all rooting as a nation for San Diego State. As you should be. Houston and Miami. We're all rooting as a nation for Houston. As you should be. I bet that's not true. Miami the 5 seed, Houston the 1 seed. Houston's favored by 7.5 in that game.
Ooh, all right. Robust.
Indiana fooled around and gave me hope the other night when I was watching that game against Miami. They came storming back late in the half, and then the start of the second half took the lead. They completed what was a 14-0 run, 12-0 run, whatever it was, and then I was kind of sleepy, Tom, so I was drifting in and out. I woke back up. Miami was up 10. I was like, hey, what the hell happened here? Sorry-ass fraudulent Indiana.
Soft-ass Indiana is what I was told.
Creighton and Princeton. That's right. They're both still in it.
Ugh.
It's a 15 seed, Tom. Come on now. You got to be happy for Princeton.
Creighton and Princeton just sounds, I don't know, very country club. I wonder why.
The pick is Creighton there. Texas and Xavier. That's a great game. That's a 2 versus 3. That's fun. Texas favored there.
If you and I got paired, you know, it was a loaded tee sheet, and they said, hey, two great guys. Their first names are Creighton and Princeton. You'd be like, oh. I think we might just go out to the parking lot and take it on down the road.
Yeah, I think we probably would.
There's an opening on the tee sheet now.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I will have an opinion on all of those games in the Sweet 16 before the day is up. I can assure you of that. I will have an opinion on that. Got to check the golf. I think the WGC is going to go the way of the Dodo now that we have elevated events. This may be the last of the WGCs. You're not going to be seeing these anymore.
Specifically the match play, it sounds like, might get the axe, which sucks. I like the match play.
I do, too. They're going to have to figure something out to infuse match play elsewhere in other formats some way, somehow. I like it, too. Not a lot, just here and there. It is fun to watch.
Well, the problem is the last day. There's nobody like that is just a commercial fest. It's like, all right, they're both off the tee, and we'll be right back.
It's just these two. That's all we got
they
for you.
They both got 15-footers, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, it's tough.
While they walk from the first green to the second tee,
let's
we'll be
interview
right
back. Our sponsor. Yeah, it's frustrating. I do wonder for Florida State today. Well, it's not today, really. My bigger thought on this is, and I don't know. Well, I mean, we'll know. We'll find out when the stats come out, but how much time does Jordan Travis get in this scrimmage on Saturday? Because, you know, the groundwork has been laid repeatedly by Mike Norvell to let you know Jordan's not going to participate more than he has to. We know what we have in Jordan. The problem is you do have two brand new tight ends that you're trying to develop. You do have, obviously, you're working in new offensive linemen.
You got issues at receiver. It's fair to say that at that point, this point, that beyond Johnny, there's a lot of proof that needs to be in the pudding for Jordan to understand where to go with a Winston Wright or a Kentron or a Darion Williamson. You got to learn those guys.
Yeah, and the counter to that is you don't have to know it now. You know, you need to know it in the fall, and it's fundamentals. It's all those things. It's true, but I don't get the sense that they really want Jordan throwing much. You know, he did have a stretch last year where he had a sore arm. In both of the last two camps, he's had that, where he had a sore arm. It's fairly normal. I mean, it's commonplace that guys get a sore arm when you come back. You know, you see it in baseball all the time. Guys come back, they haven't been throwing as much. They start throwing, having to throw competitive throws.
Could that be our best pitcher last weekend, getting scratched?
Yeah, well, Saturday? He hadn't been a starter before, you know, and then he goes out and he pitches a lot. And he's really sore. They have to work him back into it. And he knows enough to know that the value of that young man is for the entirety of a season, not a one-off. As much as you would have liked to have won that series, you need Wyatt at the end of the year. Yeah. So
that was just an experiment that failed. And you could see the logic behind the experiment, but we thought we had more arms. And so we could use you multiple afternoons or one night and one afternoon on a weekend. And we're going to need you to start, Wyatt, because we don't have much. Thank you.
Wyatt is going to be fun to watch, though, as this year goes on, because he's a kid that I think has a whole lot of what for to him, and he's got stuff. So as he gets tougher, I mean, as he gets more endurance, and as he becomes capable of the wear and tear of a 90-pitch outing or a 100-pitch outing, the more – because that it's all here. He's tough up here. So the physical just has to come around, and he'll be good to go. They're going to win some series. It'll be all right. They may be sub-500 after this stretch, though. It's hard when you're in the midst of it, man, and you don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's tough. I think it's brutal. We're not used to it.
So should I expect today to be whipping the Bushnell? I bring the golf device.
Bring your Bushnell out there, yes.
Well, I don't want to drop $300 or $400 on a good set of regular binoculars if I'm going to use it for, you know, 12 practices.
Feels like binoculars should be antiquated by now, that we should have come up with something better than binoculars.
Just something you can hit on your
glasses. Just a little
enhance.
Yeah. It feels like binoculars, you know, they're using binoculars in World War I. Let's get away from the binoculars. I'm like, what's over yonder, John? No, I want like something better.
So the rangefinder, which I'll have you know, it's about 126 yards from the third baseline of Hauser to the back corner of the far practice field where they put the video screen.
Nice little wedge.
Yeah, choked down. Yeah, it's a little downhill
little wedge.
Yeah. You're going to be going back and forth. They're going to be running drills on both fields.
They were on Tuesday.
Okay.
They were getting it on. You're going to need the rangefinder today. You're going to have to get that back corner.
I love it.
By the way, we've largely moved you know, obviously, we're at a different place than we were during COVID. So you can be at practice and you can be down on the field, and we all go inside the indoor practice facility, all of that. I want that continued growth and openness to occur for the practice fields themselves. Hauser's fine, and I love standing up there because just from a aesthetics, it's beautiful, right? When you watch the sun going down as you're out there and the weather's nice, it's a beautiful thing. As far as getting a good look for analysis, I don't see why we're not allowed to be right there in the middle between the two practice fields, Coach. Just saying.
Boy.
Maybe those of us that are proven trustworthy over the years should have more access than those that haven't.
Define greed, Coach Norvell. Define it. You don't need to anymore. You just heard it.
I don't think it's greedy. I think it's fair-minded. It's reasonable. I know, Jeff, I can trust him.
He's fair and balanced.
He's going to go down there, and I'll give him the straight dope. He's solid. I know on Monday when he returns to the airwaves, and the masses tune in, I'm not going to be ambushed like I am with some other folks. That's how you get to be a 23-year talk show host.
Jeff, come over here. This is going to be our fourth play this weekend in the scrimmage, all right? Watch this.
I'm not asking for that, but that would be cool. It's hard not to be greedy when you've put on the headset. So Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. What's up, guys? Our next partner that you're going to hear from is Athletic Greens. You've heard me talk about Athletic Greens in the past. Happy to talk about them again. I take Athletic Greens every day, and I gave them a try because certainly I wanted more energy, sustained energy. I wanted to support my immune system. I don't like taking pills and vitamins per se, and I wanted something that tasted good too. And the first time I tried it, I was very surprised. It had an appreciable effect on my energy levels. And also, over time, you'll note that it helps your skin, your hair, your nails. I don't have a lot of hair, but if I did, I bet I could feel that. I bet I could tell. It's a comprehensive health habit, and it is a powerful one at that. AG1 is great for recovery. That's Athletic Greens. And I take mine basically when I wake up every morning. I don't have to worry about it because you get all the nutrients that you want. It's the best way to ensure that you're going to get all of your vitamins. It's a carbon neutral business, by the way, if that's important to you. It is to a lot of people, and that's good to know as well. I would also note that it is a comprehensive solution to what you need from a supplement routine. Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs right now with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/JCS. Helps me out, guys, if you use that. Not financially, but it lets them know that you heard this ad on my show. And I do take it, and I am vouching for them because I enjoy their product. It's athleticgreens.com/JCS. Check it out. I think you'll note the difference in your life with a simple drink each and every morning to start your day. athleticgreens.com/JCS. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Second time in as many weeks now here, the last two anyhow, that I have run over the cord with this chair in the studio as I put my headsets on so that those of you watching on the YouTube feed get to see me have to catch the headsets and look foolish. It's great.
Quick hands, though.
Quick hands, but again, it's that panic that I talk about. That happens when you're getting older, when things start to fall. You just don't trust your reaction, so you do it really fast, which aids your endeavor, but it just looks crazy. Makes you look nuts.
It happened in the airport through security with my phone the other day. Because every airport's different. It's like some of them, all I need is your driver's license. Some I need only the boarding pass. Some, they want both. And so they wanted the boarding pass, which is on my phone. Slipped out of the hand, but then snatched it out of the air like that Corona corner pocket years ago.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was
a We've both seen a couple of our great catches. We've had, usually it involves one of us catching a drink.
That's right. Yeah. The corner pocket one was special because it was one hand to the other. Usually it's the same hand that has committed the offense as the one that snatches the object that's falling. But this one was like straight out of a military movie where you just get underneath, and it was 3-4 inches from the ground.
It's impressive.
When you get that thumbs up, there's no better thumbs up in the world. It could be your father's approval, and it's still not as good as the person who sees you make a catch like that.
I made a catch at a party outdoors one time as I was walking down the steps, and it began as a nightmare. I misstepped from these steps going into the backyard. Now, admittedly, I had been enjoying the party. And I walked back. I thought there were two steps, but there were three. It was kind of dark. And right. So I missed the last step.
Heroin, man. Unbelievable.
So as I was going, I could feel the fall was inevitable. This is keg beer. So it's an open cup. It's a solo cup. And I've got it. And it's full. I just filled it up. And I was going out back. Talked to my buddy. Stepped. And I felt those hedges coming on fast. Raised that cup in slow motion as I stared at them and went and sunk into those hedges where only the cup remained, Tom, above the hedge line. All I heard. You go from feeling foolish to well done, sir. Well done indeed. Managed to maintain.
If you could just have the voiceover from NFL Films.
Oh, yeah. And it would be great.
Cameron twisted off the hedges, landed on his spine, but not a drop, hit the unfrozen tundra of Tallahassee.
And then the camera pans to my buddy's hands up as the celebration begins. Yeah, that's fun watching people fall, but it's also fun watching people fall up steps. Up steps falls are underrated. Everybody has seen the down the steps fall, but the up the steps fall is very underrated in terms of sheer joy of watching somebody fall.
The flip-flops and the up the stairs fall go hand in hand because of the toe pick.
And it gets you.
You get the toe pick.
And if you're holding books, you're going to wear something, either the chin, the forearm, something's going. You got to get that hand up.
We've fallen up the same steps. The spiral staircase between Williams and Diffenbaugh.
Yes, I have fallen.
I think
I did it more than once. Well, when you're late.
Yeah. Speech class, trying to get there.
Let's go.
Had these old American Eagle flip-flops with the thong on them, you know?
Toe thong.
Because it's pulling your toes apart.
I'll never wear them again. Why did we ever? Just the slides.
You just
need the slides.
The soccer players always knew because the soccer players had slides.
But also the kids, they get it right. They don't get it right often, but they get it right when it comes to the slides. They introduced a whole new era. The slides are the way. You should have never had the toe thong. It's uncomfortable.
It just sounds uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable. It's ridiculous. You're like, these are toe thongs? I don't like these. Let's give me some slides. I have the same pair of slides I bought in the Keys 22 years ago. They're the best slides of all time. I've had those slides for 22 years. It's impossible. Also, if you ever go to the Keys, guys, and many of you have been there, so you know of which I speak, but if you are walking around a lot in the Keys, the Keys are a place where the rash is happening. You're going to be in trouble. You've got to protect yourself. Walking around.
What are we talking about?
We're not talking about that kind of thing. Man, we're talking about, like, you've got to make sure the talcum powder, you're good to go.
It's like the waistline of your swimsuit?
Yeah, that and it's just a, it's humid. And
the gold bond areas?
The gold bond areas. You gotta make sure you travel accordingly. The Keys, especially. Nowhere else. The Keys will get you.
Key chafing.
It's a chafe capital of the world. It's weird. I've been to the Keys like 9 times, and 4 of those times, I was like, God, dog, Keys have got me again.
The problem I have with the slides is when I go to a beach community, spend a few days, get the sand rubbing into the SPF that I got to, you know, douse myself with, and then that gets in the lining of the slide, and that irritates the skin. It's a real problem. It's a catch-22. It's like, what do you do?
So I think we're going to get an answer today, guys. I know you've been waiting since Tuesday, so I bring it back up now because apparently Joshua Farmer is not the only one in that defensive segment group that has perfect teeth. And, you know, you can look at – if you go to Ira Shaffel's story, Trench Notes, Seminoles flexing with depth talent at defensive tackle. It's on warchant.com. Really fine website. You go to that website, you type that in, you look at that article, you'll see Joshua Farmer on the left in his perfect teeth, but look in the middle, Daryl Jackson, he too has perfect teeth. So there's something going on. We were right to observe this phenomena, and I think they're wearing something. I think they have some sort of thing, like an Invisalign or
perhaps
whatever.
A veneer?
Is that what that is?
Could be.
I think it's a veneer.
It works.
They're outstanding, but I think the entire defensive tackle room has decided we want the perfect teeth. We're going to at least show off that we have these perfect teeth. So you'll see it today when you're there. It is striking. I have not looked closely at Malcolm Ray. I've not looked closely at Dennis Briggs.
Director Matthews on it.
Is he? Yeah, look at that. So if you're watching in the chat, there it is. Look at those teeth. Perfect teeth. The envy of all who have teeth. Look at them. Those are perfect teeth. Now, the guy in the background, you can't see his teeth. He's not showcasing them. But if I had the teeth that Joshua Farmer has or Daryl Jackson, I'd wear those. I'd have that smile on my face at all times. Look at those teeth. Distracting to the offensive lineman, I'm sure. You couldn't help it. You just look at it and go, look at this. Look at these teeth. Right before you collide very violently and try to destroy one another, you'd be caught. Don't get caught watching the paint dry, as they say in Hoosiers. You'd be caught watching.
I like letting him win reps so I can see him smile.
Look at those teeth. They're amazing. Dude in the back needs to deal with battles in for those new teeth. I don't know if there's white teeth grills or what they are. Says I will buy one.
Yeah, I'd buy one.
A white teeth grill? Absolutely. Especially almost just for fun. Like if you're like going out for the night, you wouldn't tell Jamie. I wouldn't tell Christy. We just smile at the dinner table. What's going on with
you
your teeth?
You look wonderful tonight.
I do, don't I?
Yeah.
Look at these teeth.
Anytime there's a super chat that comes in, you just
put those on and smile. Uh-huh. Yeah, ear to ear. I drink so much coffee that I would really benefit greatly from the veneers that these young men are apparently wearing. It's all part of the NIL deal. Dr. Birch, I'll ask her next time I'm in there.
I have so much Irish blood pumping through my veins that teeth don't go well with it. They just don't. We do the best we can.
I think your teeth are all right.
They're all right. Yeah, they're as far as they go, but they're not that. Yeah, yeah. They're not that photo.
I don't think their teeth are that. That's what I'm saying. We'll get back to football momentarily. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Don't know much about the science book. Don't know much about the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. College sports leaders asking for help in an op-ed in the New York Times. You see that?
For what? Too much money's going to the players?
Yeah, we don't know how to regulate it.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
You knew that was coming, didn't you? It's pretty funny, though, isn't it? I laughed, but it did get my attention back to the big picture stuff of when and if and all of those things that we wonder about regarding the ACC and Florida State's predicament. The league's predicament, but the ACC's predicament as well. And, I wonder if all of the bluster from a few weeks back will lead to anything. And I'm not real sure that it will.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't see them acting in a way that will expedite what we want. I'm not in the mood. I will say this. I'm not in the mood to wait around. I mean, the inevitable disaster that is our set of circumstances in the ACC, that process has already begun. We don't see it on a day-to-day basis because the program's improving right now. But the atrophy that comes from not being able to eat from the same money trough has already begun. And you see it in sports like basketball, and you see it in baseball, college baseball. It will hit football sooner rather than later. So I'd like to get with the getting is my point. We need to move on as quickly as possible, and the ways by which to do that need to be a little bit more bountiful than we want to leave.
I think that's just a signal, and you want to see how much crap you can stir up amongst the others.
But I'm not seeing it.
That's correct. Typically, these things take shape in the summer, one way or the other. I mean, you think about, we were at ACC kickoff a couple of years ago, and that's when the hammer was dropped about Texas and Oklahoma. The thing I'm interested in, like what I said a month ago or 2 months ago now, where I feel like within the next 5 to 6 years, we're gone. That's once I saw the price tag on Oklahoma and Texas exiting the Big 12 1 year early. You just do the math on it, how much it would cost to do a settlement and that kind of stuff. We're going to have the coin to do it in about five. I'd like it in the next couple of years. That'd be better.
I think we go to a bad place, man.
What's interesting to me, though, is you're seeing it with the RSNs at the professional level. We've talked about this a lot. Like when the Dodgers kept on signing record-breaking renewals for their RSN rights, their local television rights. And it comes out to some astronomical amount, like an eight-figure amount per game that it costs to broadcast Dodgers baseball. You're telling me that the ads in a nine-inning game equal
pay for that,
over,
right?
You know, tens of millions of dollars? This is a bubble. This doesn't make any sense. At what point does the consumer on the college football side of the ledger, ESPN, Fox, stop paying cable rates? And do they have just an ESPN Plus or a Fox Sports Plus and things like that? And how does that affect the payouts to the universities? Of course, if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're going to make the most money out of anybody. I wonder if there's just, it's a bad term economically, but if there's a recession, if there's a receding of the amount of money that will be doled out. Or do people at some point say, you know what, for all these streaming services I'm told are cheaper, I'm paying more than I pay with cable in the first place.
Well,
I'm going back to cable.
Yours truly has begun to figure that out.
It's going to be fascinating to see what the consumer does, though, because you know what? Cable's faster when you switch the damn channels. It's all in one place.
Yeah, I know that's a big, big-time bugaboo for you. You're tired of it. Well, I got to tell you, Tom, I'm a little frustrated, too. I've thought about going back. I have. And I didn't want to, and I hesitated to make the move to begin with. Now we're on to a different subject altogether. But
it's all part and parcel to the grand conversation about what a network like a Fox or an ESPN can pay out and who they're paying it to.
This is the kind of thing that our friends at ISF could help you with. Whether it's funding allocation and analysis, Tom, or technology strategic assessment and planning.
Funding allocation and analysis, absolutely.
That's right. The modernization of your technology, feasibility studies. These are all the kinds of things that ISF do when they work with the Department of Children and Families, or Department of Health, the Department of States, Department of State, I should say, Department of Business and Professional Regulation, Customer Experience, Modernization Support, all of these things, Tom. Let's do it here. Let's figure it out. How can we expedite and get the funding we need, much like these organizations, by improving our processes and doing an analysis with our friends at ISF. Let's go. I just, all jokes aside, and solving the future is what we do on Thursdays with our collaborators and good friends at ISF. I'm serious. I mean, we've got to collaborate with Clemson and a few others and figure out sooner rather than later something tangible that can be done to make this happen. And many people would argue that it can't. There is nothing. I don't believe that's true. There has to be something.
There's always a price.
There's always a number. This is the weird thing. The number can be on its face absurd. But is there a number?
Yeah. I think that's what they're saying.
I want to know the number, because if there's a number, there's a way.
Right.
We can get to that number. Well, it may take 30 years, but we can get to a number.
The Longhorns and the Sooners, you know, set precedent for one way to arrive at a number. Then you have the Board of Trustees meeting, in which they talk about the 120 exit fee based upon payouts.
And that's no money. That's nothing.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's just a formula. But then you also have the chairman of the board of Florida State saying, we have a handle on the grant of rights. To me, that says we know what a number is. We don't want to pay all that. So we're going to try and cause enough strife so we can settle down from whatever that number is. And if it could be paid out over time, then that number becomes even more feasible. You're talking about a feasibility study. Do you have $3,000 for an 8K television today? Some people do. A lot of people don't. Do you have it at 0% interest over the next 36 months?
Sure do.
Sure do.
At that point, I want a 120-inch television.
Yeah.
Forget about it. What are we doing?
That's it. That's the ticket here, is when that number is arrived at.
Yeah, I just want the number.
Can you pay it out over 10 years?
I believe that is the whole thing. Like, I think they could say $1 billion. $1 billion. It wouldn't be $1 billion, but let's say they said the grant of rights would, you know, to be able to get out and get your television rights back, it would be $568 million added to the $120 million you got to pay the ACC. If that was definitive, if that was the number, I think we'd leave, like, really soon, like after this year. Because you could finance that. You could do there are a lot of ways that you could work with companies to come up with that money and get on out the door.
And once you set the number, then it just becomes a negotiation at that point. Meaning the ACC. What is it, ACC office? And they tell you. You say, well, I'm not paying that, but I'll pay this. And now we're having a negotiation to get to a certain point. The only concern I would have is if you come to a number, then the bubble of cable television crashes and it's like, well, hang on a minute. Nobody's got that kind of money now.
Yeah.
The key is that you want to be with the SEC or the big because they're going to get the most. I wouldn't even look at the projections of revenue because I think consumer habits are going to change over the next 10 years and it might impact those payouts. But what you do know is that one of those two places is going to get the most money in the sport, period.
I would really like for this Pac-12 deal to get done, figure out a little bit more about what the Big 12 is doing. As things begin to settle or become more unsettled, either way, I want the sort of either chaos or clarity. I want one way or the other to have a direction to move in based on something we're seeing of significance in the game in terms of television rights, media rights, the monies derived from that. So you can base it on something. But we need to get there because every day that goes by, I feel like very, very quietly and behind the scenes, we're losing ground.
Let's play a fun game that a lot of people like to do. Let's play a game of deciding what to do with other people's money.
Right? Oh, I love that game.
All right. So if you were to assume that the average payout for the ACC over the next 12 years, like 12 full years, is $45, $50 million, somewhere along those lines.
Of the ACC? In
today's revenue, right? So that's $600 million on the upper end. So $600 million plus $120 million because that's their base exit fee is $720. That's probably too expensive at this point to just say, yep, we're out. Would you agree with that or would you say that that's reasonable?
$720?
$720. I based it in actual empirical disbursements from ESPN to the ACC, and then also the revenue.
I mean, 720 is a lot of money.
Right.
That's tough.
How about six?
Okay, we're out.
We're out?
Yeah. Right. It's monopoly money. I mean, we're sitting around here talking, like, yeah, it is easier when it's, well, hell, if it's other people's money, Tom, 720 is good.
Sure.
Let's go.
I just wonder, what do you think?
I don't know.
At what point does the number go from absurd to reasonable? Because that's what the exercise they have to do.
Yeah.
I don't know,
400, 500 million?
But that's exactly the conversation they've already had. I guarantee you they've already had that. If we can get it down to 350, we're gone yesterday. If it's 450, everybody's got that point. And I'll bet you we've defined ours. It's just a matter of getting
there. Well, that's what you think he means, right?
Yeah, I think that they know what their number is.
You don't think Peter Collins means legally he knows how it would play out in court.
They would already have done it.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they would have already done it because here's the thing. It is going to cost a lot, and it's going to be protracted. It's going to take a long time in court.
Oh, no, I'm implying that they just have an answer. Here's how much it costs, and we're done. They don't, the litigation, there would be blowback. The question is, how much money do I need to pay so we don't go to court and drag this thing out? And I'll bet you if that number is around, I mean, this is just me thinking out loud, because the way they reacted to $120 million at the board meeting was they laughed at it.
Oh, man, when they said $120 million, I was like, wait a minute, whoa. Is the only thing holding us back $120 million? We should have been gone yesterday. What are we doing? Let's go.
And clearly it's not.
It's
or
not,
else they
yeah, the grant of rights stuff. Yeah,
but
yeah.
They all laughed at $120. When did they stop laughing? $450?
$300, $400.
Yeah, right.
$400, $400, $500, yeah, something like that.
That's how settlements work, too. Yeah, this is how much you'd make over 15 years. How about I give you this much now? What do you think?
Let's go. Here's your percentage. Let's go. Yeah. Come back, wrap it up. Our thanks to our friends at ISF, Solving the Future. Every Thursday, that's right, we collaborate and listen. It's too easy. Dot, dot, dot. Sorry, ISF. Jeff Cameron Show in a moment. Hey, you want to have fun? Here we go. So we're sitting in the tub, Tom. Tub talk. You can cue up the bubbles because that is fun.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
It's time for Tub Talk, brought to you by Pinch a Penny Pools and Spas. Buy yourself the hot tub you've always wanted at the price you've always wanted from Pinch a Penny on Greer Street. Now, it's live to the tub.
So there's a couple of things here as we float about, thanks to our friends at Pinch a Penny. Tom, you know how I sensed that the WBC was electrifying this year and that it created converts? We have people who rather enjoyed the WBC. Well, that feeling was backed up by the numbers. Viewership was up 69%.
Nice.
69% from 2017, which I thought was a great and banner year for the WBC. But combined with an audience of 5.2 million, FS1 and Fox Deportes peaked at 6.5 million viewers the other night at 10:30 p.m. Good stuff. It was awesome. They could not have asked for anything more. Shohei Ohtani striking out Mike Trout, the two best players in baseball facing one another, who happen to be teammates and can't win games.
That's right. And are seen by the nation for the first time ever.
And then reminded of why they should be seen more often. Can we just tell the Angels, look, your ownership has been a mess. They haven't found a way to win with the two best players in a generation. And oh, by the way, that means regular game times don't exist for you. You're going to play at a time that's more convenient for those on the East Coast. So if you're scheduled for 8 p.m. out west, it's going to be 5 p.m., and we're going to be able to show it to everybody on the East Coast in prime time.
Hell, how about a 7:10 Eastern first pitch? Think about it. No traffic to the ballpark for
Beautiful.
Those who do go to the ballpark.
Beautiful.
Revolutionary.
And then if you want to have fun, Tom, here you go. Here's a sample of what's to come. Here you go. Little probables, Tom. Little probables. Oh. You can just whatever music you want since we don't want to get dinged. But if I were to have done it, like I will be next Thursday, this is how it would have read. Red Sox Pirates, Josh Winkowski, Johan Oviedo, Blue Jays Twins, Yusei Kikuchi, Tyler Mahal, Tigers Phils, Joey Wentz, Bailey Falter, Mets Braves, Mike Vassell. Weird name. I don't like it. Sounds like a cream. Jared Schuster, Yankees Cardinals, Nestor Cortez.
Nestor?
Oh, he's there. Steven Matz for the Cards.
Ugh.
Still in the league. D-backs Cubs, Ryan Nelson, Hayden Wisniewski.
That's Ryan Half Nelson to you.
Giants White Sox, Sean Manaea, Michael Kopech. Dodgers D-backs, Michael Grove, Dre Jameson. Hey, now. I don't like Jameson, though. Royals Padres, Brady Singer, Ryan Weathers. Jameson's very overrated. Not good. Padres Brewers, Jay Groom, Bryce Wilson, former Pirate, where he sucked. Tigers Orioles, Tyler Holton.
Hey, all right.
Grayson Rodriguez goes for the Orioles. Sound like a mid-season form guy over here. Amazing. Nats Astros, Trevor Williams, former Pirate. Luis Garcia. Mariners Reds, Chris Flexen. Brandon Williams. Guardians, Giants, Cal Quantrill, Anthony DeScalfini will now take the stand. Sounds like something he would have to do. Athletics, Rangers, J.P. Sears, and Cole Reagans. Right here in Tallahassee, as we found out last year.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
As we talked about wanting to golf with him or not.
Yeah, well, we made that mistake. His dad's listening to the show right now. Good job. I hope your son pitches great today. Come on, Cole.
Throw the bag on, Cole. Come on.
It's 9:05. We can watch him pitch tonight if we want. And that's a look at those that shall and do currently reside on the bump. See? Isn't that great? Isn't that fun? Feels good. Feels good. I like it. Can't wait. Hot dogs next Thursday, 1 week from today.
That's
very
right.
Cheap ones at that. Ice cold beer And
well-made but inexpensive hot dogs, yeah.
And a beauty here, pie, and I'll put some cheese on it.
There you go.
A little piece of cheese on the pie.
You'll have to show it to the camera for all to see at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill next Thursday.
Next Thursday, apple pie, a little slice of slightly melted cheese over that pie. Mmm! It's going to be delicious. And then on the Vegas wall, game after game after game. We'll do a live show there. It's going to be a busy day. We leave not long after that show to go to practice, and then that night there will be the unveiling of the new show that we have.
I'd say I might stay for first pitch of the Mets-Marlins game at 4:05.
And then got you. It's the first pitch.
I
got
to see the first pitch.
By the way, Mets-Marlins, that whole division, your division's awesome. That is a loaded. I think so. It's a loaded division. You don't think so?
No, that's why. I'm like, yeah, that's great.
Oh, buddy.
Great for
Nobody's feeling sorry for your $500 million payroll. You just buck up, soldier, and try to compete.
Look, if we could have played in the Central at any point in either league the past 10 years.
No, not the past 10 years. You can't say that. Cardinals win 100 games a year every year, buddy. It's ridiculous. It's by law. I'm so damn tired of it. Even in years where we win 98 games, they win 100.
I know that year. We swept the Cubs from the Central.
Yeah, the sorry Cubs. You did not sweep the Pirates, who won 98 games that
year. Didn't have a chance to.
No. You did not sweep the Cardinals, and you did not know. Frustrating. But, I mean, yes. Nobody, again, that Miami team's fun to watch.
Then again, it's more balanced this year, so it's A-OK. I think we're playing, is it 15 games apiece? Against your division opponents instead of 19? I believe that's what it is now.
Yeah, and you have the this will be fun. I mean, you are going to play everybody, right? Everybody plays everybody?
Yep.
That's this year, right? They've implemented it?
That has started this year.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you play everybody. It doesn't mean that everybody goes to your home ballpark.
No,
that's on an
no.
alternating basis. Yeah. But, yeah, you see everybody in baseball on the schedule.
Well, you'll get to see Shohei Ohtani. You'll get to see Mike Trout against your team. I don't want to see him against my team because we don't have good pitching against players that aren't a third as good as Shohei Ohtani.
So I'll be at a weekend series up there in July at Citi Field. And I just want to play this game with you real quick. Because when you see the schedule and you know when you're going traveling places, and you're like, oh, who are they playing? And then you pull it up. Sometimes you go, all right, they're playing the blank.
Yeah.
And sometimes you go, oh, my God, they're playing the Marlins?
Well, but right now you'd want to see the Marlins.
They're playing the Giants. How would you rate that? I think that's solid.
The Mets are playing the Giants when?
When I go up there in July.
Like
if you're going to Pittsburgh and it was the Giants, aside from your day, you'd be like, all right, solid.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no. There aren't too many teams that I get upset at.
The D-backs?
I don't want to see the D-backs. That's probably number one on the list. Like, oh, you're playing the D-backs. Well, they don't even have Paul Goldschmidt anymore. I don't want to watch them. Peace!